Hey, Pronosis, welcome back. We've got our bestie from the Midwestie, Justin Lawrence.
I like that.
He's hanging out. We're doing a recap. You should have some FOMO. I hate to say it, but it was a lot of fun. We had a blast. My voice is still tapped. And we're going to get deep into it. But before we start, we've got a couple incredible partners that help us put the show on every single week. Starting with, drumroll, Steven.
Ooh, let's kick it off with BMAC. BMAC Industries and DTF Superstore. So if you haven't heard, BMAC Industries is a leader in innovative solutions for the DTF printing industry, specifically on making dryers. They're dedicated to providing top-of-the-line equipment and technology that enhance productivity and quality. We did an interview with Andy where he talked about why he has developed this new dryer, and our dryer actually just got delivered yesterday, so I'll have to review it. But they have a commitment to excellence. BMAC Industries continues to push the boundaries of what's possible in garment decoration. Check them out. BMAC Industries, DTF Superstore. Thanks so much for sponsoring the podcast.
Easy way. Justin, how many hours do you spend cleaning screens?
Less and less these days. But if I had to go back to the screen dungeon, I know there's one way to do it, and it would be the easiest way. Alex and his team have supported us in anything that we've needed. I love Easy Way. We're looking at the Blue Water unit right now. They're just an incredible partner to the industry. And so, yeah, they make chemicals and something, the worst part of the industry, the worst part of the job. They support it well, and they make it great.
Love it. Steven, do you have a daddy?
I got Multicraft Daddy.
Multicraft Daddy?
I tried to stamp Multicraft Daddy with with my ink marker for the stupid bingo game. And I've never seen Dave. Dave used to be a cop back in the day. He's in the Marines. And I was like, oh, I saw a side of him. Like, don't touch my face, because he's freaking awesome. So if you need ink supplies or a daddy, you should hit up Multicraft because he's going to protect you with top brands at competitive prices. Mention the Printavo podcast. You're going to receive an extra 10% off your first order. And Dave's partnered up with PMI Tape. They're giving away supplies for every episode. All you have to do is DM Dave, and he gives away one free case per episode. And I think it's Multicraft Daddy branded. So also, thank you, PMI Tape, for that thoughtful gift you give Multicraft _ Daddy. Thanks so much, Dave.
Graph X Source. Steven, you're at 6 artists? 5 artists?
I don't know. Artists? Nick texts me to correct me every week. He's like, actually, you have 7.
And what are they doing?
Just solutions to improve efficiency and reduce costs in our art department. Graphic Source offers industry-leading outsource options for your shop by truly becoming a part of your team. They plug and play with Printavo and other shop management software. When it comes to steps, mockups, creative art, order management, embroidery, digitizing, back office admin, and customer service, there's no better company or industry to work with. They have over 40 years in the game. They have a proven track record and understand shops' needs. Just last week, we had a huge bottleneck with some graphic design work that we had to do. And I hit up Nick Wood, and he actually got us an artist within like 36 hours. It was awesome. And their new promo is if you get more than 10 artists, they'll take you to Honduras. So I'm gonna go on that trip soon. Hit them up.
Gotta catch them all.
Use Printavopod 24 for 50% off your first vector, step, or embroidery order. All right.
So Justin's not using DGI apparel yet. And Steven, I need you to, in 15 seconds, tell them why, because it's a really cool time-saving tool that's free.
So Justin, on your computer, when you go to purchase every day, when you used to purchase back in the day, you would go to Sanmar, SNS, Alpha, you'd have all your orders, and you would try to order. And you'd have to add to cart over here, try to make freight over here. And DGI Apparel just solves all of those problems for you. You can log in to DGI Apparel, connect all of your different accounts, and shop on one platform to find the cheapest, fastest products. And you can check out literally through the website. The guys that have built it, Ian, you spent a bunch of time with him. He's brilliant. One of the smartest humans I know in our industry now. And he's got 1,700 customers in less than 6 months. And here's the kicker. There's no coupon code because DGI Apparel is free and, I quote, will always be free. So is there any reason why you're not getting on DJI apparel now?
No, it's super cool. We've looked into the tool and we have an account. We've logged our accounts into it and have played around, and it's super functional. And you can even bring in additional suppliers, like AS Color shows up on there. I think that there's one other.
Coast Carolina, yeah. Something. There's a bunch of them.
Yeah, we haven't fully implemented it yet, but we are kind of R&Ding with it and tossing it around the team to just see how definitely we can benefit from it.
You heard it.
You heard it here live. Let's jump on in. All right, Pronouncers, we're back. My voice is still a little bit, I think I caught something. Some things just don't stay in Cleveland when you catch them in Cleveland. But we're back. Pronouncers recap 2024. What a show. What a fun weekend. Not just a show. What a fun weekend.
It was a fun weekend. I brought something back from Cleveland too. I'm feeling a little under the weather. And
really?
Wait, did you?
Do we have a super spreader or what?
I was not well on Tuesday.
Really? Oh, but that was because of the gin.
Staying up late.
That was the gin and the gambling. That wasn't a
Justin. Can you tell us a little bit about high stakes slot machines?
What do you mean?
I didn't know high stakes slot machines existed. Are the odds of a high stakes slot machine better than a low stake slot machine in your experience?
No.
How much was each pull?
When you win, now that's none of your business, Bruce. When you win a lot. When you lose a lot. You just gotta, it's high yield. It's high stakes. It's
high yield, high stakes.
Listen, I'm not trying to sit at a penny slot machine for an hour and just like play some video games with in-app purchases. I'm trying to either do it or get done, you know?
It's the gamblers that try really hard, you know, like yourself, that walk away with nothing. It's the gamblers that just go to have a good time, like our friend from Dom at Superior Inc.
I mean, so I probably have told this story 9 or 10 times since Print Hustlers, and with your permission, I'd like to tell it one more time. After a long day of hard work with my friends in Cleveland at Print Hustlers, we decided to go to a local establishment known as Jack's. Jack's Casino in downtown Cleveland was a vibe, and everybody was there. We had a blast. Bruce was on a different level. Bruce was elevated. Man, I love seeing you in that element, Bruce, because it was great. So me,
you were dressed like Gilligan's Island.
He was, that hat.
Yeah, as a disguise.
Shout out to Bella and Canvas Bucket Hat Collection.
So me, Steven, and Ryan Moore were sitting at a blackjack table, a few down, and I hear Bruce squeal in a way that I've never heard another human squeal. Because I look and Dominic Rosacci from Superior Inc. is at the roulette table with Bruce, and they're yelling, and I'm trying to get Dommy's attention. I'm like, what's happening? And he's like, I don't know, but I won. We find out that Dominic had been playing roulette most of the night. And
a good hour and a half.
Had not done super great. And the dude took his last $150 or so dollars. And put it all on 11. And guess what happened? 11 hit. And 11 hit.
The
and that translates
bit of money.
His last all in. And he won like $5,400. And that was just
perfection.
Elevated.
Might I add that he was doing this for an hour and a half again? I just want to emphasize this.
So the funny part about it is Ryan Moore is a pretty competitive individual. Mind you, he's got turf green hair. It's a Sunday night at a casino in Cleveland.
Rock green hair.
The Browns have lost. It was a dark day in Cleveland.
And so Ryan's like, you know what? We're going to cheer louder. So we win like $12 and Ryan is hooting and hollering. And anyways,
yeah, it's a good time. I love the competitive nature. Yeah, downtown Cleveland, pretty awesome little city. Very walkable. Casino nearby. Great event at the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. I think so many shop owners were able to relive their dreams. They had a real live garage band set up. Not the you know, PS2 game. This was full drum kit, multiple guitars, keyboard, you know, mics, proper the whole deal.
Yeah. Proper. They had the like B3 a recording cabinet. Studio. Yeah. Yeah. And good equipment.
So Justin missed this because he was just going to get a little siesta in. Bruce, I missed it too because I was too deep in conversation with Shops. And next thing I know, I'm hearing about who was all playing. John Gibbs on the drums, Brett on the
Gibbs. You had Frank at Stalls, was killing it also on the drums right before. You had Max from Family Industries on guitar. Ryan jumped on guitar. Phil from Family Industries on vocals. And Brett Bowden dominating the bass. I mean, the hair was everywhere. It was awesome. Okay, so that was the festivities. I think it was just a great time. Again, Print Hustlers is like half awesome talks and like thought-provoking topics and half just a really good time to be able to spend outside of our day-to-day and outside of our bubbles to all get together.
Justin led us off as our MC again. I think you're a lifer.
I hope to be. It's one of my favorite things of the year to do.
So let's break it down. We Saturday, House of Blues, got to meet the Printavo team. Nice little happy hour. Y'all decided to put me on a bingo card. Thank you. I got some people some stamps on the cheek. Got some PMI tape on people. But Sunday's where the real magic happened. Where do you guys want to start?
We kicked it off with brand marketing. A guy named Kofi, he's over at Bell and Canvas. He was a Nike exec actually for quite some time. I didn't know that. And yeah, he dropped some bombs. I guess, you know, what we could do is just say, like, what are the few takeaways that stuck out in your brain? Maybe Farag, you want to kick us off?
So when you see I have the privilege of finally getting to work with like real marketing professionals, and the way their minds work is way different than our minds work in marketing, where it's like long tail storytelling, like taking your vision and putting it in every piece of your content, actually finding your ethos and bringing that through your marketing and your storytelling. And is it Kofi? He had like ads of like LeBron and some of the stuff he did at Nike, and then tailoring it to how they've done it at Bella. And you could tell this person obsesses over positioning, brand, voice, marketing, like how that all shapes the world, how billboards operate and all that stuff. So it was pretty interesting to see from a high level just how he thinks about marketing, and then retrospectively being like, okay, how do we think about marketing? And it's like, oh, okay, we could definitely take a few tips on the long tail game of really good brand marketing. What about you, Justin?
I thought it was great. I always appreciate hearing high level marketing professionals that have the controls of really big brands, how strategic and intentional and like clean and clear cut their messaging has to be. You know, we get the privilege of being small and getting to ideate and take risks and try things, but we don't have to be as put together because our audience isn't as big. And so if we miss, it's not as big a miss. And if we hit, it's certainly not as big a hit. And that is a common theme that I sense, like even Nigel from last year, Kofi, when we hear from these big people that are just representing large, large brands, it's dialed and it's respectable and simple. That's one of the things too, is I was like, this is so simple, but it's also like I think it has to be for that messaging to cut through.
Bruce, Justin, you guys never paid for like a marketing or a rebrand agency to do like a full dig on Printavo or Oklahoma, right?
Oh, not like yours. I mean, yours is in depth. From what I've seen.
We went through it, and it has been the most eye-opening experience of learning what I had I had zero clue on any of this stuff.
What was like shocker?
Well, when we first started out, we worked with an agency. First, we worked with a marketing agency to figure out like our core values and what our through line was and what was consistent through the company. And it felt like I was like, another one of these calls. What the heck? And they finally put it together in like this really nice presentation. And we took that presentation and then we went to the brand agency that was actually going to do the design work. And then they went through a series of tests, like personality tests. They went through different companies and what the colors were of the spectrum of all our competitors and where we wanted to sit. And at the end of it, they created this massive toolkit for us. And when I first saw the logo, I was like, we paid how much for this? What? But then to actually see them teach our team and then for us to actually see it out there, it's something I regret. Like, I wish I would have done And it was expensive. I think the whole thing, start to finish, could have been $40,000, $50,000 with everything. I wish we would have done this 6 or 7 years ago. I'm like, damn. So
what Kufi was talking about that you guys also did or are doing is he talked about brand messaging is about consistency. And so how do you deliver the same story for years and years, which helps build your audience and allows people to follow you and therefore buy? And like when I see the presentation from your agency, yeah, I mean, obviously it's so early, but there's so much consistency of the brand across every medium. It was, you know, is this a billboard? Is this the website? Is this something on your phone? Is this, you know, a label on the inside tag? Is, like what, all those different things were consistent.
Anyways, but that was super cool. All right.
Steven,
what's next?
So Justin, Steven and Alex from automations.io did a really cool kind of Q&A type of talk. Justin, what do you think? What was your feeling going through that or when that wrapped up?
I really like anytime Steven gets the stage. One, selfishly, because he talks kindly about his friends. Thank you for that. But I think that you bring a practicality and real life examples that a lot of shops can really, you know, do something with. Sometimes when you hear from people like Kufi or you hear from these big prolific people, it's like, it's inspiring and it's thought provoking and it's challenging, but maybe the takeaways are a little more subjective. Whereas Steven, I think you bring practical applications. If it's you lecturing about your story or telling your startup story, or if it's you talking about how you've, you know, dialed in your business over the years, or even when you're interviewing, I think you represent the voice of the printer. And I think you represent the voice of the modern day printer really well. So thank you for that. I think that Alex is cool. Like I like the approach. He reminds me of a young Bruce that's, you know, getting out there and trying and seeing an opportunity in the market, being a hustler himself and seeing like, I can bring my skills, leverage it for this community and maybe not have a job anymore.
And for the background, automations.io is a website that's like Zapier, but they build the Zaps and automations for you.
Look, that was a squeal I heard.
Look, we can cut that out.
Look,
don't cut it, Chris.
It was a long weekend. And they enhance the automations. For example, you could do like if a status is within this state for X time, then do that, right? So easy follow-ups, easy status changes after a certain amount of time and so on. The best part is he builds it all for you. That's the stack.
Yeah, I will say I think I've given an automations talk like 5 out of 8 years. So I'm going to retire from automations. Because
unautomations now.
Because I think there's this resounding message that I try to continue saying is Printavo gets us to a certain point. And when that point, you know, when it hits to that point and it no longer serves you or you can't do something, there's two options. You can complain about it or you can do something about it. And I give Bruce a lot of shit because, you know, I've given you tons of ideas, but you've literally built the platform that has made our business succeed. And still yet we are impatient and greedy and we still complain. But now here's a solution that isn't even like, it's the easiest thing out there. All you have to do is message him and say, I want that. And he'll build it for you. Like the tool we talked about where Justin's got 2,000 Google reviews. Justin, you paid a lot of money for that
like
tool.
$3,000 a year, actually.
Yeah. Just for that tool. And automations.io is
Signpost. Yeah. $24.95, not $3,000. $2,500 a year.
And I'm just like, wait, like you don't have to watch any of the Zapier videos. You don't have to like struggle through it. All you have to do is sign up, message him and say, I want that. Justin, I'm a little pissed that it's that easy now because we like struggled through all this stuff. And so,
Sorry.
Yeah, go ahead.
No, I wonder, like, and not to undermine Alex, but I was talking to the team a little bit at Print Hustlers about this idea of, you know, as time goes by, technology gets easier and more accessible. You know, how much longer will, like, it'll be a year or two maybe where Alex has a runway to provide these services. And as soon as we can find out how to wire that ourselves, or Printavo provides the ability for us to start modulating or building out these automations and really, you know, my son has this coding app and he calls himself a coder, but, and he is doing these advanced things, but he's doing it by like Lego pieces and like if thens, then that's. And so I want, yes, as technology gets better, hopefully automations.io goes away because maybe that's embedded into Printavo or it's just accessible, you know?
Yeah. But I think for our industry, the way he built automations.io, he said, and we spent some time in this, for non-technical people. I hate to say it, the printing industry has a lot of non-technical business owners, right? And, you know, older generations than myself. And so, yeah, if your son takes over the business, he's going to come in and say, hey, dad, I can do this in a second. Don't worry about it. But, you know, something like 80% of companies, small business right now, are owned by someone born before 1981, right? And so I think if Alex can actually get really sticky with some of these shops, he can help preserve them and kind of modernize them without a crazy heavy lift. So I don't know. I'm pumped to see what's up.
Justin's son just coming in. Dad, can you just step aside, please?
I hope not. I mean, I would love to. I would love if one of my children. Yeah,
can you not touch
to,
that,
like,
please?
For real.
Hey, Dad. What about the dispensary?
Oh God, I don't wish this on my children.
Steven, you said one really good quote I want to emphasize. You said, are we a burrito stand or a Chipotle? Are we a burrito stand or a Chipotle? And they make basically the same thing, but how they do it is very different. Okay, last thing I'll touch on there is the four ways if you want to get started with thinking about this, you guys said, which is great, is there's four buckets: operations, sales, marketing, finance, right? So within those four buckets, I'm sure you could list out five different things that someone's doing, you know, with a very good predictability and that automations.io could be able to do and take off their plate. All right, so that's how you get started. Next one up, we had promo industry. Snugs USA. Steven, yeah, Brittany from Snugs. So very interesting company. They are a manufacturer in the space. On the promotional side, they do all kinds of stuff, actually, if you see on their website. But I think the big emphasis was there is money left on the table. Do you feel that way, Steven? And maybe how did that apply? Like, was there... You know, she was talking about, hey, you could add home goods, office goods, things like that that you probably haven't thought of that brands really want.
So Brett and I actually, when we were in Utah, we went and visited Snugs and we did a tour of their facility. We had to put on like lab coats because that's where all like the everyday cleaning supply, like hand sanitizers and lip balms were made and stuff. And it was a couple hundred thousand square feet of just promo. And I kind of, as I was walking through there, kind of listening to Brittany, it's like the reason that we're not good at promo is simply a lack of education and care for my team to actually put the time in training them. Like, we are leaving so much on the table. And it's this whole other world that, quite frankly, we just kind of put to the side. And I think whenever I hear someone from the promo industry, I didn't realize, like, I just need to talk to a rep at Snugs and get them to spend time with my team educating them, you know, just the same way our reps at SNS and Sanmar do. So it's definitely a wake-up call whenever you hear from people in the promo industry. What about you, Justin?
I agree. I think that our biggest opportunities personally to grow is in embroidery, that vertical, and promotional products. And promotional products is so much easier. It's just like a complicated Rubik's cube. Like, once you figure it out, like, I'm sure it's probably pretty great, but to figure it out, to get the money out of it, it's a pain in the butt. And I'm surprised actually that there's not someone in our space, a bit of a consultant or someone that's the promo, like promo guru, that's going to come in and like can implement and teach you and show you, calling all of you little decorators who are looking for your opportunity. Come on, we need a promo person that'll just help make promo great.
Don't say again.
We got to make it great.
So Justin, how much would you pay for someone to come in your shop and whip your team into shape on promo?
That's a great question. I would pay if someone could come in and like introduce us and show us a way and here's the like scripting and here's the training. I mean, you pay $5,000 to $10,000 for a sales professional to come in and like consult and give you something over a 1 to 6 month period. So that's something I would invest in because especially in our space, it's either going to be me or saying our customer care manager or someone on my team that gets impassioned about growing this, but we don't have a promo person. All of our customer care reps, you know, we sell it. We have it in our email signatures. We do all of the things to try to get it out there, but it's just not something that's easy to sell because I think often it's hard enough to sell t-shirts. You know, it's hard enough to start from scratch to get this to the custom manufacturing, all the things we have to go through. And that's complicated enough. And then to add promo into it, goodness, like it's hard. When someone comes to us just for promo and it's just promo, then that's kind of a straightforward problem to solve. But when it's promo plus t-shirts or promo plus embroidery or whatever, it's hard and inconsistent.
One shop mentioned, they said, the hard part for our sales team and why they don't want to sell it as much is because of that. Like someone asks for, you know, I don't know, stress balls or something. You haven't really done it. And now they're on the hunt for a while to find a good, you know, manufacturer and all that back and forth on top of selling the apparel side. She said, if you did want to get into it more, the easiest question was just ask, hey, what else are you buying with your logo on it? And I think I really like that, especially after if you could do a bang up job on the first one, that's a great question.
I'm writing that down, Bruce. I didn't catch that.
I'll tell you, I have an automations that run after everyone processes, after an order gets processed within a couple of days, they get an email saying, do you know about our promo catalog while we have your logo? I just let it run. And it probably produces 3 to 4 orders a month.
Is that with the tool you introduced me to? PromoSpace?
Not PromoSpace, SwagSpace.
SwagSpace.
Yeah. And it's just an afterthought and just a catalog. And it's like at a subdomain, it's like stores.campus.inc. And it just points them there. And what's cool is like if they start filling out a cart, we can see it. And so you just get that email right after every order. And it's just a post-checkout flow. So yeah, promo is definitely scary.
Do you think it takes to best sell promo? Does it take because the hard thing is like someone's like, I want pins. Well, if I'm going to have a showroom, I can't have all of the pins. Is it better? You think it's like to say, here's Justin's top 10 promo items. And if you need promo, these are what you should buy. Or is the self-serve, self-buy, like you go figure out what you want, bring it to us. We'll take your order and then deliver it for you. What do y'all think?
So I think the person in charge of buying promo, let's just call it the marketing or HR person of a company, just wants it off their desk and they don't want to mess it up. So if you can come to them as the expert and say, hey, tell me your budget. I'm going to put you in the best pens. They're not going to bleed. They're good. And just trust me. Maybe that's the story I make up in my head of how it should work. But then there's the other like Vistaprint side of things where just click it, set it for, you know, just people just buy online. Like you can buy custom promo products on Amazon now. I was trying to buy golf tees and I was going to do them through promo. And my business partner, Jed's like, no, let me show you this. Amazon's cheaper. I'm like, what? So I don't know. What do you think?
We never sold promo. From the questions that she got, it sounds like you need like a low end and a high end version. And the direct contacts as much. Like you said, it's the collection. I mean, what I'll say is when Printavo buys swag, like holiday type gift boxes,
you just go to Vistaprint
stuff in it. No, I mean, we use swag for a bit because they'll stock it and fulfill it, especially for new hires, which is nice. But it was nice for them to give us a collection. Like it was really overwhelming to see 50,000 products and have to sift through because I didn't know what was good quality and what wasn't. And I've bought some really poor quality, even just apparel for the team that, you know, I wouldn't do again. But yeah, hey, look, here's like maybe low end, high end, or good, better, best of this stuff. And that made it so much easier for us.
Hey, Bruce, just a tip. When you go on my SNS account and you see something on closeout, it's probably because it wasn't selling well, so I wouldn't buy it for your team. Just saying.
I can't remember what the hoodie was, but it's the one with the like zip off hood, and it like it just fit terribly. And
I heard Chrisette is Bruce's wife. I heard her at Print Hustlers say something like, "Oh yeah, we've got Steven's logins and we just go get whatever we want," which is fantastic. But
she did not.
You're such a generous friend to give them your credentials and your net. Steven, like you just charge it to net. Like it'll just show up. You can pick the shipping address. It's fantastic. I got these shirts on Steven's account. It was awesome. They got thumb holes in them. Super.
Jess,
great.
And I told you the time Bruce changed the default ship address to his doorstep.
No.
And he almost got 100 cases to.
Can you imagine just showing up to like a condo building with a pallet?
This is tangential. One time my shop used to be in my garage. It was in a rent house. I moved to our first production facility and there was just this address was still in one of our checkouts, like saved address somehow. And we had this rush job and we were looking for these hoodies because they were safety green or safety yellow, like high vis construction hoodies. And they were printing off the truck and we couldn't find them anywhere. And so we called and they said, "Oh yeah, I got delivered." And so I saw that it was at my old house. And so I got in my truck, I drove over there and I went to the house, knocked on the door, had no idea who these people were. And I kind of look in the house and I see two children run down the hallway wearing high-vis like high-vis hoodies. And I was like, well, okay, great. And so then I just kept knocking and a kid came up, was like, "I need your mom." And I go and get your mom. And she comes to the door horrified. And I said, "Hey, I need those hoodies. I gotta have them. It's okay that your kids are wearing them." And she goes, "I need a minute." And so she came back and the box was like shredded and she just brings me these piles of shirts. And I mean, ultimately, I guess it's my fault for not changing the address, but we found the shirts, we got them printed. And I hope that that like landscaping company is still rocking those shirts that had a little bit of chocolate milk on the sleeve because it was awesome.
Can you imagine just kids getting a hold of a box too?
Some of those stories are so funny. I feel like all of us have them. Okay, let's keep going. Alex, the economist. Justin, Bruce, this was your first time hearing. Well, you've sort of heard him before, but love to hear your feedback on Alex, the economist.
Alex is at a consulting firm, so they help people get, it's called the Bundy Group, I think. They basically help with M&A and investments. So, you know, it tends to be larger companies maybe looking for investments or want to sell, and they help sort of bundle the business together. This was my favorite talk. I think because there was so much data and there were so much concise tactical things to take away. I'll say the biggest quote I think that hit me was he said, "Operate your company as if you want to sell it." It doesn't mean that, you know, you're doing that today. It doesn't mean in 5 years, but operate your company as if you will sell it. And he says that starts to get you into a routine and into a good flow of making better decisions to pull you out. Now, that was sort of separate from the data. I mean, I think the high level that I pulled away from the data was, look, there's a lot of news misinformation on all sides today. I mean, everyone wants to vie for your attention on all social media and television and website platforms. And to do that, and to sell more ads and get more eyeballs, they make headlines more and more, you know, over the top or sensationalized. But he's like, you really have to challenge that and ask yourself, is that really the case? And so he went through a whole host of data points as far as the U.S. economy, where we're at, some Printavo indicators from our open data dashboard to be able to show that we're in a pretty good state. Like as a country, we're in a pretty darn good state, but there are some indicators that are a little bit concerning. Justin, what did you think from that talk?
I agree with you. It also was my favorite talk. I think one of the reasons why it really was my favorite talk, because it was an intense 45-minute data lecture that normally feels overwhelming and inaccessible and hard to understand. And the way that Alex was able to break all of those things down. The thing I've said a couple times after his talk is I left feeling really confident to be an American. Like, I was proud of America, and not for like political things, for like our economy. I had never seen like an infographic showing, like, I had no idea how much the US, like, global economy we represented. I had no idea how, I knew we were a big player. I knew that we were like the leaders of the free world, all that stuff. But like, you just hear that and you don't ever see it put out in front of you in such a way. That was really impressive to me. I chuckled hard when I realized, like, geographically how big Russia is, and then how much they I didn't laugh at Russia. I would never laugh at Russia. Russia, you're doing great. But seeing how, like he said, they represent like a gas station that sells guns is just had me falling out, because like, it really is true. Like, there is this perception of this enormous thing, and it's such a small piece of the pie. And then I guess kind of in closing, like, the thing that I guess was really encouraging for me was seeing how kind of strong our economy is independent of the political landscape and people's opinions. And like, we are on this rise, and the things that we're doing, and our debt being founded in our mortgages and in the real estate that we own. It was really encouraging. I'm thankful that I'm building a business in an economy that is on the rise. I can't imagine how hard it would be to build a business in an economy that you're in third place, or that is going down, or that you're losing market share, or that you're just vying or trying and your government is oppressive. And I mean, I left feeling patriotic. I left feeling proud to be an American. I left encouraged and optimistic about, hey, what's coming is unknown, but at least, you know, kind of in our core of American economy, we're strong.
So I think I felt feeling calm as well. I think what was interesting, he showed an infographic that said it's mostly CEOs that are worried about the economy, and that CEOs always think that the economy is going to tank. But really, when you look at economists or the Fed or, you know, different segments of leaders, they're way like exponentially less worried than owners of businesses. So that was just a kind of punch in the face to say, like, quit tweaking. You know, I thought the other thing that was interesting was the COVID correction. So like, there was this huge COVID boom post COVID, and that sort of leveled out. But the growth trajectory that we're on now is about the same as the one we were on in 2015, 2016. So while everyone's kind of like panicked, we're still going up and to the right, just not at the same clip as the post COVID, you know, like, boom. So that was really interesting to see. And I think the last thing was that what scared Alex was talking about the different types of debt and how that's changing. And so it's like, student loans aren't an issue right now, but credit card and auto loans, and that our generation is bullish on that, and delinquency there could be a red flag down the road, for spending. So, he also talked about holding onto your cash and being careful with debt right now until it gets a little bit cheaper, which he predicted it will. So that was cool.
And the big thing, I think, for 2025 is he's like, we're not going back to a point where we have two-ish, low twos inflation. So for the foreseeable future, we're going to probably float around 3-4% inflation. And regardless of the candidate, you know, either of them, both of them wanted to spend more. And so that's going to help encourage that, as in you could see closer to 4% inflation a little bit longer. What that means is you have to plan for that with investments, right? He said cost of borrowing is going to continue to remain high. So cash is definitely a little bit smarter to hold on, especially if things tend to dip, and then you can refinance if you need to later. He mentioned customer acquisition is going to be important, as it's going to be harder to just sit and wait for businesses to come in. Employee retention is very important, as people can tend to job hop easier still and be able to make around 10%. He was saying more, and that's just an average. Pay attention to local policies. Local policies are way more important for you as a business owner than, you know, presidential or national policies.
I liked he was right before lunch, and he, like, everyone was hungry, it was time to go, but also we opened it up for questions, and I mean, a little bit of people left that had to maybe go to the restroom or wanted to get to the front of the line, but I mean, everybody stayed and was just drinking it up. It was so good.
Yeah. I looked over at Bruce and he was like sweating and he looked hot and bothered. He was,
did you hear my question? I said, so does this mean that prices of your business need to increase at a 4% rate annually? And he's like, annually? No, you're behind the eight ball. You're like essentially getting squeezed from the top if you only do it annually. He's like, the companies we work with at a minimum look at that every 6 months. It's just everything's moving too quickly for you to wait every 12 months.
Yeah, he took us to church.
It was Amen. All right. Built to scale. Justin, this was a really great talk about helping get business owners out of their day-to-day. I thought this was interesting, right? Because, you know, you're working towards this as well. What did you think?
Who was the speaker? Remind me.
Sarah.
Sarah from outsideangle.com. Her big thing was 3 points. You need to rethink trust, how you delegate, and the context you provide.
Yeah, Sarah Silverman. The Sarah Silverman. And she also did the, if any of y'all seen it on social media, Ryan Moore and Zach Acorn did this Navy SEAL training 24-hour crazy thing. And Ryan Moore said, I did ask him, he said it was the hardest thing he's ever done in his life, which is cool because that dude does a lot of hard things. But he met Sarah there, and Sarah is this badass organizational therapist, Dr. Sarah Silverman, I found out. She is, that was incredible. It was about team and listening and the sensitivities and paying attention and the dynamics of team. So as an organizational therapist and as an or psychiatrist and as a organizer, that was an incredible talk. I like that. My team probably liked that talk the most out of the bunch.
So there were two things that I pulled out from Sarah's talk that I thought were like prolific. She talked a little bit about trust and like, does your team trust you? Do you trust your team? And if you don't know those answers at all times, that's dangerous. And so I was thinking about it and I was like, you know, what does my team perceive of their leaders and what do our leaders perceive of their team? And a lot of times I get shops that complain about their employees. They can't do this. They're not worth it. Whatever. They come in and they're entitled. And I'm like, they don't trust you. And you don't trust them. So how can we even run an organization if we aren't built on this foundation of trust, right? And so when you look at a really strong and healthy print shop, Oklahoma Shirt Company, right? Like Superior Inc., you can tell there's a special sauce between your leadership team and the owner. And I think we all have to strive for that trust, because the next part about it that she talked about was delegation. And how to properly delegate tasks, that there's this myth that it's like, I can do something and then I can just give it to someone to do. But really what needs to happen is it needs to be a bunch of series of, you know, we do, we do, we do, we do, until you can really delegate a task properly. And what she said at the end was, you have to adopt and just embrace that you are a teacher. Like, to be a business leader, you have to be a teacher and you have to learn how people learn and meet them where they are. And I thought that was interesting because a lot of times as business owners, we're stubborn when we're just like, why don't the employees just show up and work and get it? It's like, no, you have to be a teacher, which is something, Justin, I think you do very, very well with your team. And, you know, that's something that we can see from the outside looking in. So, yeah.
Sarah said this. She said, you will always be a part of the process if you just delegate tasks. So if you're just giving tasks out and assigning tests, you will always be a part of the process. Your goal is to want to delegate the critical thinking so that they can make the best choices on their own. And honestly, you know, as an owner, that's definitely one of the harder skills to develop. I think one tactical thing she said too of building trust and how do you do it more. She said an easy thing that she does is every week they have a weekly meeting. You know, they talk about operational things going back and forth and so on. But everyone shares one thing professionally they're focused on or working on and one thing personally that's consuming their mind or that they're thinking about. And that helps start to build trust in the team. I thought that was a really easy, low-hanging fruit way to do it.
Maybe we add that to L10. We do we open every L10 with like a personal update and a professional update, but it's just good news. It has a different hit if it's like, what are you working on? you know, not just surviving this week. What do you think? Oh, I like that. Thinking about or working on. I like that.
Yeah. That's really good. That's supercharging the beginning of your L10. I like it. She also showed that really cool cartoon, Bruce, that I sent you guys where how do you teach someone to think on their own? Oof. You have to teach someone to think on their own. You have to let them make mistakes on their own.
The first part, it says, can you, as two, as a girl and a guy talking to each other. And the girl says, hey, can you do X, Y, Z by the end of the week? And he's like, okay. And the second cartoon says, here's the situation. A, B, and C are the problems right now. And the guy goes, got it. So should I do X, Y, Z? You know, oversimplifying it, but helping to delegate off the critical thinking so that you could be out of the process. Supercolor, neat Q&A. They not like us. Supercolor put out this really cool video about their production facility and all the numbers that they're doing. Unbelievable. I mean, you know, this is sometimes it's like, oh, it's, you know, it's just Realm, you know, doing stuff. It's like, no. This is they have facilities all over the world. He talked about these $500,000 HP Indigo, I think he said they're called, printers, HP digital printers that they combine with the screen printed underbase. And there's eight of those all over. Soon they announced they're going to be selling consumables. Big announcement there. So ink, supplies, powder, all that kind of stuff. That was huge. What'd you think?
Justin, I want you to give your take on Rum's talk, and then I've got an opinion.
I enjoy Rum. Anytime I'm around him, his energy is contagious, and the fire in his belly, I respect. I've enjoyed watching Supercolor go meteoric in the past 3 years, like just watching from this supply house to now this sponsor of industry events, and the generosity of Rum and willingness to ideate. I love seeing how big of a business he is, that he's the COO of and president, and yet he still is like, he wants to come to Oklahoma and he wants to earn more of our business, and he wants to, like, he's just interested in that. And I'm impressed that Supercolor also isn't just sitting still, you know, like they have their product, they found their lane, but then they're also thinking about what does the future look like and how are we going to supply these people? Not are we just going to supply you, but can we train you and can we help you and can we make your business successful? I like that a lot. And I look forward to seeing Supercolor continue to be an industry giant like that of Stahl's, you know, and just becoming one of these like houses that we count on as decorators.
So besides setting off the alarm on the exit door at the casino, I love Rum. Did I just say that?
He had to really make a quick exit stage left.
Yeah. So Rum came to one of the early print hustlers with bags for everyone. And we had no idea who he was. And this was 2017, 2018. And I'm really proud of Rum and the talk he gave at this year's Print Hustler, because it was a different kind of Rum. I think his DJ name back in the day was Only One Rum. But what I thought was really cool was they opened with a video of all their equipment. Millions of dollars of equipment. And 3 or 4 years ago, Bruce, Rum was pretty close-lipped about it. He wouldn't give tours of the facilities. Like, I don't really want to let this technology out. And now he's starting to play poker with his cards, like cards up, and saying like, okay, you can have Tommy the DTFer in a thing. You can have Stahl's doing some things. We're still going to get the best state-of-the-art equipment, provide the best quality and the best service, and we're going to grow with you. If you can do this all and bring on this equipment, here's our playbook. Let's play. And I thought that was a different tune that I've not seen before. And the movement to starting to sell supplies and things like that, I think is just a testament to, you know, a company growing in hyper growth mode, but the owner and the founder is still there on the ground floor. I thought it was just amazing. So I thought it was a fantastic Q&A that him and Brett did.
Yeah, definitely a big fan. Crazy amount of R&D that's happening. 400 team members work at Supercolor all over the place. That's wild. Derek Hess, I got to be honest, I was confused at first. And then, like just like a magic trick, I was in awe at the end. Justin, What did that hit for you?
It was awesome. I think when you zoom out a little bit and look at the experience and you look at Derek, you realize we got to see, kind of like Steve Albini, we got to see a true artist, that, you know, is an artist first and a creator and a maker and not a polished speaker. You know, we hire polished speakers and then expect this. And like, Steven, I empathize with you. I spoke at, I think, the second Print Hustlers. Like, I put this talk together about Oklahoma Shirt Company and all the things that we've done. And I'm not a polished speaker, but I can hold a stage, and it's stressful and it's not fun. And you really want to show out for your peers and do all these things. And to not do that is relieving. But to see how he is just an artist unapologetically, and he brings his art and he brings himself, and he's very true to himself and his process. I heard him say 3 or 4 times that, you know, most of the time he has the privilege of being his own client, which means that, you know, he's there to serve art and he's there to serve his vision and he's there to serve. It was like the purest thing that we saw all weekend, if I'm really being honest. And I really, really, it was charming. It was disheveled and it was beautiful.
Steven, say a little bit of background too of who he is and a little bit of back there. And then, like, what'd you think?
So Derek Hess is an artist, specifically specializing in poster, like screen printed poster, and specifically in like the 80s and 90s, all done by hand for the most part. So we're talking cutting red ruby lith, scratching out, and doing these crazy process prints. And doing them for like musicians and stuff in the Cleveland area. And so he brought out his transfers, or what would you call those, film positives, negatives? I don't know what you call them. And he had them all out on the floor, and Justin was trying to help him. And then Justin, you almost like effed it up. And I was like, I'm just going to put this down now. But like all the layers, and he's looking at it, and he's like, oh, there was the red for the lips. I had to scratch that out there. Ooh, we had to, do you see the yellow, the reflection on the basketball of it? And I'm just thinking about in my head how many hours this person spent with that art. Like, I don't want to know how long it took to make those steps. You know, I have zero clue, and therefore I have such deep appreciation because we hit a freaking button and out it comes. And so just to see him in his element, it was really cool. Justin, you said it best. It was charming. So, and he DM'd me on Instagram after, was like, can you send me the pictures? I was like, heck yeah. So it was fun.
Sweetie. Yeah. Big sweetie energy. What'd you think, Bruce?
Yeah. I mean, the end where the magic trick hit was going up and feeling the films that he made. So he was talking the whole time about, you know, I made the separations to pass on for the posters. So he designed a lot of band posters. And, you know, I'm just thinking Photoshop, right? Like, so, okay. And when he, what the realization was no. When he's saying I'm making the separations, he's drawing it. Maybe he's drawing it out on paper as far as the idea. And he's physically making each of the films by hand with all of those different materials. Like you said, the razor and the pencil and the cutout and the ruby lift, like all this stuff. And some of them were 12 colors. I mean, it wasn't like, it was unbelievable to have those line up and then be able to give to a poster shop to print. So really, really talented guy. He's at DerekHess on Instagram. So you could check out all of his stuff.
Yeah. And it was pretty cool because I had two of our youngest employees there, Carter and Sean, and they were sitting in the front. And I was like, how is this going to land for them right now? Like, they love art and they're in Photoshop. I mean, they're doing everything, dice up, you name it, and they're soaking it all up. And I just got a text like, this is sick. And I was like, okay, you see what I see. So pretty, pretty cool. And then he let everyone come kind of walk the stage and touch it all and feel it all. And it was pretty neat. So super, super cool.
Yeah. Final two here. Panel. What was it like? People could write in on postcards and ask a bunch of questions to an expert panel. There was about 4 different shops from all over, all different types of sizes, and some good questions. And Steven even got asked a couple questions who wasn't even on the panel. But Justin, you were proposing the questions.
Yep. Yeah. I think it's always important for those ask the expert type things where, because you do have Steven giving us the voice of the printer and hearing from us. But also I think when you had four print shops up there that are all able to field whatever questions or just hold conversations about the challenges they're having in a print shop or things that they've wrestled with, it's validating because, again, it's one of those times when you realize I'm not alone. There are other people that are going through the same things that I'm going through. And thankfully, our industry and our people are willing to be candid, rough around the edges, you know? And I think that brings, like, the lack of professionalism at times brings a lot of authenticity and transparency, which is really good. So yeah, there were, you know, questions about, it was all over the board. It was, how are you going to grow? What do you think about next year? What do you think about DTF? How are you pivoting? How do you handle, you know, what is when you're hiring and onboarding, like, what do you look for in hire? So a lot of the, you know, kind of business 101 or really just people wanting insight, which just tells me that there is definitely a place for, we need the TED Talks and the professional, you know, inspiration and challenge. And then we also need space for the, hey, here's our real problems that we have with and giving space and time to kind of workshop it a little bit. It was supposed to be about a 40-minute session and it ended up being about an hour and 15 minutes, which was really great.
Steven, you were asked about how it was to deal with Mark Cuban, which I think is actually a great question, right? You know, you see this guy in Shark Tank, you see him on, you know, news outlets and so on, and you have a good rapport as you guys talk over email quite often. And you had a pretty good response. Tell us.
Yeah, so working with Mark is cool, and I get that question quite a bit, and he is just like he is on TV, but he's a really sound business person, and he's pretty conservative and smart. He knows when to gamble and take risks, obviously. And so one of my favorite emails he's ever sent me, I think I've sent this to you guys several times. He says, if you're finding yourself overwhelmed with business, you need to raise your prices. It tells you you're too cheap. Remember, it's not sales that are important. It's gross margin, dollars, and profit. Leave the unprofitable sales to others to choke on. And I have this like everywhere in my phone, but that's the kind of candor it is. And here's the thing, like whether it's Mark or Kevin Baumgart, being able to get some real tough love, that's the stuff that sticks. And so I challenge everyone to find someone out there. Doesn't have to be a billionaire, but it could just be a bigger business you look up to and be like, tell me what I need to know, you know? And that's the kind of candor that I have with him, which was cool. I also think what was really interesting about the panel, specifically, so what we had Max and Lucas up there. And you know, I've seen them now, and Nikki and Christina. Yeah. And so I've seen, and maybe more specifically like Max, early print hustlers 8-9 years ago, you know, you can see that they have like battle scars, and Lucas, right? And Nikki, and when she changed her brand and name and stuff like that. And so you really want to listen carefully, because they're going to share with you mistakes they made that they do not want you to go through. And you can see it in their face when they talk about that stuff. And I'm sure Lucas has tons of stories of things like early on, but I think that's the coolest part is when you listen to them, actually take it to heart. Cause when you go to name your company or you go to hire some employees, like don't make the same mistakes we all did. So I thought that was really cool for them to open up, and I'm sure that could have gone on for hours and hours and hours, but yeah.
Last but not least, an unbelievable shop tour at a company called Stakes Manufacturing. I want to be respectful of like the, you know, not NDA, but like, you know, what I feel like it would be okay to share and what they want to keep under wraps. But they basically are a huge on-demand fulfillment center for a lot of big companies and brands out there, from sports to websites, you know, everything in between. They accept orders. Like he was like, you know, we do the API and we've got everything dialed in on the tech side. And then I think he said something like 80% comes in via paper and email still. So
just DTF and DTG.
Yes. Yes. Some of the very expensive, you know, Cornet, probably $500,000 machines. And then, you know, rows and rows of heat presses.
And old Walmart, they took over. Like they, the building they occupy is an old Walmart, which is gigantic.
We're going to have to get Jed on the podcast. Jed gave a really powerful talk at the beginning. This is a 100,000 square foot facility. They're getting out 20,000 units per day. All the technology is there, but 10% of Steaks Manufacturing is someone with a disability. And he spent a little bit of time on this and talked about disability inclusion, which is something that I need to learn a lot more about, in a book that they wrote. And when you see a founder or an owner, they've got their beautiful baby, but then they really talk about this human component. It hit like a different chord for me. And it was really interesting when he talked about how some of the people that they've hired are actually even more skillful than someone without a disability, because he leans into their strengths and he, and it was funny because, one of the employees came up to me like as I was standing in the back and was like, "Hey, there's pizza for lunch." And I was like, "Yeah, there's pizza for lunch." And I was just like, "Wow, this is such a loving place. Like, this is beautiful right here." And I just thought that was magical. I don't know, Justin, if you have anything there.
I agree. the vibe of the whole facility, the visual and organizational communication on the walls, those are the things that I noticed, was walking through a big business and seeing not only does it take an enormous amount of infrastructure to run a business like that, the additional investment in infrastructure in providing support for neurodivergent people or people with disabilities. And that was impressive to me. Like there are signs, there's prompts, there's directions, there's clear communication. And it's something that we're struggling with internally, is how do we communicate and how do we get all these ideas out? And how do we have all of these core values and missions, how do you indoctrinate all your people with it? And, it was an impressive, impressive facility, along with state-of-the-art technology. And yeah, the volume in which they're fulfilling at a daily clip is unreal.
I think I looked at someone and said, "I don't want this. Holy cow! This
no,
this is
no 200." What did he say? 200 employees?
Yeah, three shifts.
Yeah, 250, close to 250.
7 days a week.
I mean, even just walking from one side of the facility to the other is a good 8 minutes.
Closing thoughts.
Look, I love seeing everybody again. I love seeing.
Wait, we forgot someone. Nick G from Print Profit.
Oh, that's right.
I'm sorry, Nick. It was early. I had a late night. Justin had a late night.
Printprofit.com.
But Nick gave this talk Monday morning, and I walked down to the room a little late, and it was jam freaking packed.
Yeah.
That was so freaking cool that many people showed up to learn about profitability and the tools he built and all that stuff. So, yeah. What do you guys got for Nick?
No. Yeah, it was over my head. I also was with Steven. I was struggling that morning. I didn't get much sleep the night before. My tummy didn't feel great. But
there were no pastries left.
Yeah, it was a good time, man. It was funny. Like his talk is wonderful. And I think that there's an enormous amount of practical application for Nick. And this is great.
So what Nick talks about, for those that don't know Nick from Print Profit, is contribution margin, right? And really understanding how that feeds your business and kind of reverse engineering profit. And so if it's something that you're interested in, please, please, please hit him up. He did a demo with a shop, in the front. So, if you lose a bunch of money in the casino the night before, it might be wise to go to the Profit talk. So next year, maybe we're not at a casino.
Yeah. Too many degenerates all in one space.
Bruce, casino. Is Print Hustlers 2025 set yet?
I've heard rumors, maybe Chicago, but unknown. We'll
like Chicago.
Definitely announce it when we get there.
How about
though?
Oklahoma? Could you
Let's
host
go.
Us?
Casey.
What if we, like a Mexican resort? We just imagine 200 Print Hustlers in
Cozumel,
Tulum.
Print Hustlers, Bahamas.
It'd be like Fyre Festival.
Sponsored Ooh. By Supercolor.
I'm in. I think finally, like Brett, Ryan, the team at Made Lab, they work so hard to put this thing on, and they are doing everything at all times of the day, at all hours, to make sure everyone is taken care of. They take everyone into consideration. I mean, putting on these events is really freaking hard. Like, Bruce, we tried to sort of do it early on, and these were just, they're hard. And so I give a lot of credit to Brett and the team at Made Lab for putting on a banger of a weekend.
I'll second that. The Made Lab guys crushed the game. I really appreciate, and what I appreciate is they're our friends, they're our peers. There's a group of people that saw a space in the industry that, if I'm really being candid, that the trade industry is supposed to be there to occupy. And that's just not something that our trade industry is providing well right now, and or our trade industry organization. So how Made Lab is stepping up with their leadership, the educational things they're providing, taking the best event of the year and making it even better. My hat is off to them. Thank you. My closing piece for Print Hustlers is, I was super encouraged with how many new people were there. At one point I asked the crowd, like, who had been to Print Hustlers before, if it was your first year. And guys, more than like half of the room was new people. And that, man, that just tells me, it gives me confidence that our industry is alive. It gives us me confidence that our industry is alive, and the people that are at the helm of these businesses are motivated to invest into themselves. So it's only going to get richer. And while I wish that there had been more people there that were repeat customers or people from the past, I think that that's the nature of the event selling out. You know, when the event goes live next year, it sells out. It will sell out. So don't hesitate, or else you will. And here's the problem. The truth is like, those venues are, that was such a special venue, and there's only so many seats in there, and you can't just make more.
It's better, like, once you get too big, it's just not as intimate. It's so much more fun when.
Yeah, so those last second text messages, like Sam, Tyler, Tim, don't do that again to us next year. That was.
Don't do that.
Put us in a hard spot.
But I thought early. It was fantastic. Super great.
All right, Print Hustlers, we appreciate you guys joining us. Justin, another amazing time. Your voice just sounds incredible now. The audio sounds good. The voice sounds good. We are here.
We're invested.
Thank you guys. We'll see you guys on the next episode. Thanks so much for listening. Hopefully that was informative. Don't forget to subscribe. Don't forget to like. Don't forget to hit the bell for notifications if you enjoyed this video. If you enjoy all the stuff we're putting out, it's really helpful. We love to just be able to see it. That means that we're doing a good job. To subscribe, hit the bell for notifications, and hit the like button. And I'll see you in the next episode. Bye.